just above all of creation. It was a rare and precious pearl, conceived in faith and liberty, home of the brave, land of the free. It was the envy of the world. But this shining city on a hill has turned from the Creator's will and let evil take control. Now the reckless men who lead them want to strip away their freedom and to steal their very soul. Now it's smoke and mirrors, switching bait, criticize and confiscate, and let the guilty walk away. In this once righteous, godly nation, in the halls of education, they forbid a child to pray. They say we need to spread the wealth. They pretend to guard the health of the feeble and the poor. While the hand they hold behind their back confuses and conceals the fact that the wolf is at the door. There's an unseen hand.
Welcome back, Resurrect the Republic, Dirty Uncle Sam, Truth Radio broadcast on RBN. Well, it's never a dull moment around here, folks. And I was mentioning before before the break, and maybe I worded it incorrectly. You'll have to forgive me, Ken. I'm a little exhausted today. Been a tough couple of days. But what I was trying to say was, when you try and make sense, when you try and walk into a church and stand on different beliefs than they're used to, all of their little minions following along with, you know, sometimes you get a little bit of pushback. I guess is the point that I was trying to make, because people don't really realize the true ecclesiastic nature to a lot of this. I was made aware of this many years ago, and I don't even think my brother got it, and he's a bar association attorney and judge now.
Oh, great.
Yeah, well, there's history in my family. I love my brother. I will always love him. He's my blood. And in heart, I've seen him be so good to so many people, but at the same time, sit in an administrative capacity. And I don't really, really, truly know if he fully comprehends the nature of the beast by which he serves. I really don't. I pray for him.
And I'm inclined to agree with you on that point, because what they're doing is they're just following their administrative processes, and they're following the letter of the law as they see it through the administrative process.
Yeah. Yeah. And they think that they're
and doing I don't,
it. Yeah. Good.
And I want to make one thing very, 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 very clear to your listeners and to everybody. We hold the power. We issued these instruments. We are the issuer. We are the principal. And once you realize that there was never a loan and that you are actually the lender, you have every right. You have every right to come in and seize control of that. It is not that complicated. But you have to crack the administrative books. And you have to go through, and you have to pour through the Uniform Trust Code and Probate Code and the Transfer to Minors Act, and you'll see in there that that all throughout that, you know, even in the SEC documents that they're filing to these loan trusts, we are the issuer and principal. We have every right to come in and seize control of that. And every transaction that takes place, all these securitized transactions, all these servicing transactions, all these insurance transactions, they are all initiated on our signature as the issuer and principal. Of course, we gave that all away to them because we gave them power of attorney, and of course they used the hell out of it and used it in ways of evil. But we have all rights to come back in. So when you approach the court on this, I think you're going to see the court is going to be shocked, number one. Number two, I think they're going to be very respectful that we have taken the time to educate ourselves, and that in fact we are coming in and we're saying, listen, Your Honor, you know, I realize now I made a mistake. I made a mistake coming in here. What happened here was that the trustee, that trustee who was supposed to be acting in a fiduciary capacity to me, came in and hauled our ass into the court, and we didn't know that you can't see us, you can't hear us, that we're lost at sea, that we're in an admiralty court, and that you're just doing your official capacity and the corporate capacity as you're supposed to do to give restitution to plaintiffs who file post their bills, which is what these trustees did. We also know, Your Honor, that, hey, this doesn't have anything to do with a mortgage loan. This all has to do with my estate. And it's evident, Your Honor, because as soon as you throw me out of my house or as soon as the sheriff comes and throws me out of my house, they're going to be filing IRS forms, and they're going to be filing forms with the state that says that I abandoned my property and I abandoned my estate. And I'm not doing that. I'm not abandoning anything. So really, what people got to understand is, yeah, we have to stop acting like debtors. We have to stop acting like debtors. We've got to start acting. We got to stand up. We're basically putting on our big boy and girl pants and stand up for ourselves. And we have to do it in a proper way. And the brilliance of what they've done, as evil as it is they've got us believing something that in a false reality that is complete fabrication. But that fabrication is just a thin veil. And as soon as we rip through that, they're done with. They're done with. We don't have to go and sue the hell out of them. We don't have to do any of that. Because once we correct their status and take care of our business to create a non-joinder, to put ourselves in private trust, once we do all of that, everything automatically vests back to us anyhow. And then what happens is now you've got the attorneys, the bar attorneys, they're going to be eating each other alive between banks and themselves. And all we're doing is tipping the first domino, because now what happens is now once you go in on this, the aspect that we're going in on it, well, you've got the judge on the hook, because now he's going to be worried about his bonds and any criminal charges against him, because you put him in a position to where you're in exclusive equity, to where he is you're holding him bound to his oath and duties. And to rule over the people, not the corporate, not the corporate side of their coin. Same thing with the sheriffs. You know, you can hold the sheriffs accountable because they're acting as an association. And I find that out here in Oregon through Clackamas County, they're acting through the sheriffs association. Well, that's a corporate business. Okay, well, you violate your oath right there to the people. You know, so really what we're doing here is we're by going at this in exclusive equity, what we're doing here is we're recognizing the fact that, hey, okay, we made some mistakes here with our identity and our understanding of the law and how the court system works and everything, but hey, guess what? You know, I'm not lost at sea anyway. I got my feet back on the ground here, and I'm just interested in the ends of justice here, and that's what your duty is to me, to the ends of justice. And I don't want to be belligerent. I want to do this, and that's not what's fair and right. And I think what you're going to see happen here, yeah, there's going to be a bunch of judges that are going to be very resistant to this, but at the same time, they can't be. They can't be. Because the fact that they brought a druggist in the court to begin with is on lack of capacity, because everything that they've done against us is administrative. And we have every right to, it violates our due process, equal protection, and First Amendment, to prohibit us from exhausting our administrative remedies. And what are those administrative remedies? They're rebuttals to all of these presumptive claims that these bar attorneys are making, abandoning our property when we never abandoned it. We knew that we were abandoning our property. When we go in, we claim our name, we claim our trade name, we take control of our name, we take control of us. So what we're doing is we're being responsible to ourselves and to our creator by taking a stand for ourselves. And we are putting our big boy and girl pants on, and we're saying, this is what we're doing. And you have to abide by that.
Amazing. That's it would be, in a perfect world, everyone would be knocking down your door to try and get information on how to do this and how to pull themselves into a more responsible position. Yeah, but, you know, I think that through the indoctrination that we've been receiving over decades long of time, you know, I find that I can be having conversations with people. They think that, you know, they're so brainwashed, so indoctrinated to accept their servitude, and just they just keep going on with this. I mean, it's insane to me. I've read enough laws and decisions and to know over the years that they're acting outside their scope of of authority.
Well, you know, you can get that oh boy moment, I think, or at least one of the oh boy moments when you go through these administrative processes.
Yeah.
When you read through, and I encourage people to crack open the Model Corporate Business Act, and start pouring through that. And what they're referring to in that, and this is bar attorneys, what they're referring to by domestic corporations, by unincorporated domestication, and organic laws, they're talking about us. They're talking about us. Them moving us through the corporate system that we never had any awareness, any disclosure, any knowledge whatsoever even existed.
I know, right? It's crazy.
Well, and when you do that, because now you got to ask yourself a question, okay? Now you got to ask yourself a question. The question is this. Okay, well, if a United States person is a domestic corporation, then that kind of means that I'm not a consumer then. That kind of means that I'm kind of my own autonomous business, because that's what you've turned me into. Okay, well, if you've turned me into my own autonomous business, single named LLC, then gee, you know, and you use my all caps name to trade with, then I think I'm kind of entitled to some of those credits, don't you think?
You would think.
I'm kind of entitled to that stuff.
You would think.
And we are entitled to it if we step forward. See, that's the big secret. The big trade secret here is ourselves, really. Is learning of ourselves and establishing
Bingo.
Who we are and taking control of ourselves in a non-belligerent manner. And that's why I have a problem with a lot of constitutionalists who sit there, who are so hard-lined to throw everything back to the Constitution. And no, you can't do that. You're not going to get yourself out of the system. What you want to do is you want to put yourself in your rightful position within the system and take control of the system. So
well,
now
that's,
once you have,
essentially,
once
that's
you have
what
control
our founders
of everything,
did.
Pardon me?
That's what the founders did.
Yes, yes. Yes, you know, the chain of title that you're creating is a chain of title that validates your life, that seizes control and ownership of your all caps corporate fiction, and your trade name, and licensing rights over it. So you can remove it from the system if you want to, or you can leave it in the system and license it, collect royalties if you want, collect credits if you want, because it's trading every day on Boney and DTC and a million and one other exchanges. So there's money that's going through the accounts every single day. Wouldn't it be nice if we actually received those credits?
You know, I would say, well, heck yeah, absolutely. And what
you know,
way
say,
can we do that?
When it says the straw man doesn't exist, he does exist. The straw man does exist, and he exists through our corporation. And rule number one for the five rules of corporation are that corporations have a treasury, a trove. Well, guess what? We have a treasury. We have a trove. The problem is that we've allowed ourselves to be misrepresented as consumers, and we've accepted that servitude notion of, as a consumer, and we're fighting these debt collectors.
I hate that term.
That we don't need to be fighting.
God, I really hate that term. It's appropriate for this.
I hate the term debt. I hate loan servicers. I think loan servicers and brokers are the slime of the world. Unfortunately, we've put our hands, well, we haven't, but our entire global economy has been put in the hands of brokers. Everything that we're dealing with trades through an exchange, and who's the only ones that can trade through exchanges? Licensed brokers.
Yes.
The licensed brokers have fixed everything. It's incredible to see when you start, you know, as I've worked through this stuff for 8 years, and it's just incredible to see how blatant, I mean, really, really blatant the system really is. I mean, when somebody can sit there and say, okay, well, I got a financial instrument here, I'm going to break up into about 22 different components here and sell it 22 different ways from Sunday and for different prices, and I'm going to insure the hell out of it, and I'm going to collect all the returns on it, but it's all going to go back to, I'm going to have a liability on it, because, of course, because I'm a put everything to an LLC. I'm going to put all liability back to that schmuck that signed the papers and it's recorded about the time. And that's what they're doing. So in a business sense, what we're doing is we have to remove liabilities from us because they've removed all liabilities from themselves through the creation of LLCs. And you know something, LLCs are not recognized, are non-existent to the IRS. So that's what we've got to do.
If only the best solution, if only the best solution were an oak tree and a rope, my brother. Jeez. I know I'm a little bit militant, you know, folks. I'm not a violent person. I really am not. But you know, I have to say, back in the day, when a couple of guys went and snuck into somebody's pasture and stole a horse or horses, mm-hmm. they had a real quick and easy solution to see to it that wouldn't happen again.
I think a lot of people should be hung. I mean, I'm not a violent person either, but there's a few choice people that I would love to see that I'd probably hang myself. I'd probably pull the trap door myself. Yeah. I think that. A lot of people here who are very, very intelligent, who have figured out a way to manipulate intellectual properties and put us into a virtual world to their scenarios, to their profits, to our detriment. And I think there's a lot of people that need to go to jail, that should go to jail. But you know, I've learned though too that to try to cut the head of the beast off is next to impossible because you're going to grow another head back. I think it's the best way to kill the beast is to do it at a ground at a grassroots level, you know, on an individual basis, to where we cut out their knees and then we let them eat themselves. And they worry themselves. They worry themselves. As soon as we start seizing control back, they're going to be oh shit. Because now all liability. Now think about.
Once you get the chain of title established, go ahead.
Once you get that chain of title established, you know, that being from you know, your living man, your living woman, your all caps name, commanding authority over it and separating it. Once you do all of that, then if you want to go in on the at-law side, then you can go in at the at-law side and chew the hell out of them for infringement, for all kinds of things on torts, and they're not going to stand a chance. Because why? Because we own us. We're responsible for ourselves. We have to the United States because we're fully authenticated and verified as being proven our life, and we have full control over all businesses, if you want to refer to that, of our all caps name, and we have all authority over that. And you stepped on it, and guess what? Now you're going to pay for it. Now I'm going to go in the at law court because now I'm going to as representative. As the executor, as a TTE to KWD Trust, or whatever you want to name it, or an LLC, and going in as a merchant and saying, you know, my vessel's grounded, I'm not lost at sea, I'm coming in as a merchant, and you guys infringed upon my commerce. Time to pay back.
Yes, sir. And I do believe we do have Tom in Florida back on the line. Tom, are you there?
Good afternoon. Good evening. I think Hillary should be on the top of the criminal list. But talking to Ken, I think you should renounce your citizenship coming as an illegal, and you can probably get everything you want. You might get an SBA loan, and you get Section 8 housing and all that other good stuff, and you won't have to worry about it. And I also want to say this. Speaking of birth certificates, you know in California alone, you over have a half a million illegals in that state that don't have birth certificates. We're not even talking about Syrian Muslims. You think about that?
Ken?
Well, they're creating by our signature. They're creating, fabricating documents at will. They're constantly they're trading us through the passport system to trade us overseas, and we don't even know this stuff's going on. And that's what they're doing.
Well, let me ask you this too. I want to ask you something that happened last night. You think the state of Israel would allow five of their police officers to get shot by black Jews that are in Israel? What do you think would be happening in Israel? Five of their white Jews got shot by black African from one of the Jews, the black Jews they have from Africa. It's in Israel right now. What do you think would happen over there?
Well, Ken, you mind if I take this one?
Yeah, go ahead.
Well, here's the thing, man. We all know that there's a control structure behind what we see going on. We know in Israel, with War by Deception, in the American government, with the CIA, with the British government, with MI6, this pervasive, I guess you could say, occultism, at the higher echelons of government exists in all, like we saw with, the Bush flavored Moloch worshiping at Bohemian Grove. These folks that we're dealing with, there are segments of Jews. There are segments, what I believe that all roads lead to Rome. These are all
Jesuits.
Yeah, sure. And they are. Jesuits are a huge problem.
You look at the Book of Revelation, and you look at how the three religions are going to destroy each other. But when you put it to an economic point of view, you've got the Vatican, as you mentioned. Then you've got the Jews that control the banking, and then you've got this whole system of basically rents and leases, which is all based on Sharia law. So you've got the three main religions controlling and dominating the world, working together, which kind of is contrary to the destruction.
Don't forget Bolshevikism.
I cannot forget Bolshevism and the 40-some million Christians that were responsible, or the 40-some million Christians that were murdered by the Bolsheviks who were responsible for their deaths. I try and mention that often because we hear of other events in history that seem to be traumatic on the psyche of people who never experienced them, nor even saw so much as any of them these things happening. I my heart goes to them. I it's amazing how history just has kind of glossed over that whole thing. But Ken, you had just mentioned something about Sharia and the mortgage system. I was in Oregon at the Mount Hort Wildlife Refuge, known as the Harney County Resource Center. But
you were down there, really? I spent a few days down there as well.
Yes, sir. I was there. I'm amazed. Blessed in a way. I sad in a way that I have brothers in prison, and I feel I may be a survivor's guilt, if you could call it that. For I had slipped on the ice, and Lavoie had actually driven me in the truck that you see in that video that ended up being shot up. He drove me down to his hotel room. It was a room he got, and put me in the room, and I was nursing my leg. I did a real bad slider. Anyway, I was using the internet, and I was going to do some media stuff, and the next thing you know, he was shot down. But one of the things that I witnessed...
I must have just missed you, because I was there a week prior.
Now, you know what?
And then met with
I was there a week prior to his murder, and as a matter of fact, I don't know if you were in the main building or the one that they had morning meetings in, but I had walked in there and talked to a couple fellas, and I would not be surprised to find out if you may have been one of them.
Let me tell you how I came down there. I intentionally insured myself into that friend of mine because they had the national stage with the morning with the press conferences, and I know that from my studies and from my investigation and research that how they're stealing these properties away, and how they're stealing ranches' rights away and mining rights and so on and so forth. And so I had a friend of mine who knows Ammon and Ryan. Insert me down there. So I kind of went down there blind, and I started out, I had to get vetted through three or four people.
No, I understand.
Their names are eluding me at the moment. But I started out at the top there where the morning briefs were, and then I spent the remaining 2 days down in the administrative building. Yes, I spoke with a lot of people down in there.
And I found everybody to be very good. Did you have a number of files?
Tom, can I say something?
Yeah, just hang on one second. Yeah, just one second. Yes, you may. Did you have files with you, evidence that there had been creeping Sharia in the mortgage? I met you, brother. Yes. I know who you are now.
Okay.
I was in the room with Blaine Cooper. We were doing video in that second room off of where Adam used to sit. And I was sitting there going, and you were. I think it was you that was showing me the Islamic infiltration.
Yes, it was me, and I did bring that out because, yes, I brought out about five patents, and I explained to people that the Sharia law aspects of this. I think I remember
that was you.
You were back with Blaine?
Yes. Yes, those were my iPads. I was walking in and out with the iPads, and I was, yeah, that was me.
There were about 15 people back that day.
Yeah. Oh, well, that just clicked.
And I was waiting there to meet with Ammon, and I finally did later in the day. Yeah. And I said, listen, let's break this open through one of these press conferences because these patents are very important. I went through the patents with him, and he agreed, and he said, well, you know, let's do this. I was with Sergeant Moe, the one female.
Sergeant Moe, God bless her.
Oh, you know who she is, right?
Yes, I know who she is.
Maureen Peltier.
I know who it is.
Okay, she was kind of my guide when I was down there. Mm-hmm. And so we walked away from that. Ammon said, well, why don't you and Sergeant Moe work together and kind of put together a plan so that we can break this open, and let's kind of convene in a week, and we'll break this open. And then, of course, the following week is when LaVoy was murdered. I spent a couple of days down there. And
we do have the caller piping. Go ahead, brother.
Hey, Tom.
Yes.
Hey, Ken, let me ask you a question.
Yeah.
You know, Muslim? Or Hispanic, or anybody can get an SBA loan easier than a white Anglo male. And we're the majority of this country. We're the majority of the country. We're in the majority still, the white Anglo males. But yet it's harder for us to get an SBA loan than it is a Muslim who's just coming in here, or some Hispanic just stuck in from Central America or Mexico, whatever.
Here's the thing with Muslims. This is why it's based on Sharia law. Because what they did was they converted everything to debt. And they totally eliminated a present day transaction. So in other words, the day that you signed those mortgage loans, or anybody signed those mortgage loans, you didn't get a mortgage loan. What they did was they kicked all the debt down the road in terms of insurance policy. So if it's foreclosed on you, then the Muslims can come in and buy it on the cheap, because the Muslims don't believe in paying interest, and they believe in paying cash. So now they can come back in at the tail end of this in foreclosure and pick up a $500,000 asset for $10.
Oh, that's just beautiful. Hang on one second. I want you to keep that caller on. We will be right back after a few words from our sponsors. Never a dull moment here. Resurrect the Republic, Dirty Uncle Sam. We'll be right back. Everything you earn by breaking your backs. We're gonna redistribute when we make our paychecks. Hey, sit down, don't be a jerk.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Are you still looking for that one iodine that you can really trust? A medical doctor-endorsed product that is backed by honest research and true integrative science? Then search no further. Go to NutraMedical.com for Dr. Bill Deagle's Nutriodine, proven time and time again to be the very best iodine available for you. Nutriodine is the only Tesla-activated monatomic plasma iodine in the world. It optimizes mitochondrial function and generation of new mitochondria from totally neutralizing the venom from a desert recluse spider bite in southern Southern California to eliminating malaria parasites reported by medical missionaries in Central India. Dr. Bill's Nutriodine is simply the most powerful healing formula there is. Nutriodine clears the body of all known pathogens, restores it to an alkaline state, and even promotes stem cell regeneration. Order Dr. Bill's Nutriodine today at 888-212-8871 or visit us online at NutriMedical.com.
Uncertainty has become the talking point when it comes to financial markets. One thing is becoming certain, safe haven assets. Hard assets are now becoming the choice of informed investors. The most recognized and valued hard asset is gold. The highest performing asset this year is gold. Trust gold to protect and grow your IRA or 401k. Central banks and billionaires are doing the same thing. Choose a more stable asset that has tremendous upside potential. As these uncertain times threaten the markets, your decision to reduce your exposure to these markets before further negative effects to your portfolio would be well-timed. Call 1-800-GOLD-IRA to transfer your existing IRA into an actual physical gold and silver IRA. American Bullion is the pioneer of gold IRAs. They handle all the details for you. Call 1-800-GOLD-IRA to get prepared. Start protecting and growing your IRA and 401k before the next crash. American Bullion, 1-800-GOLD-IRA.
Hi, my name is Chris. Since the 1970s, I have been actively making products available that support good health. What makes my juices flow is helping mankind get healthy. Today, I'm going to tell you about a product that will help your juices to flow. I am excited to recommend Dr. Miller's Holy Tea to you. Even if we are eating a clean diet, these impurities are entering our bodies. Holy Tea moves these poisons that are creating havoc with our health out of our bowels. It works on the whole digestive system. The five tasty herbs are combined to provide an amazing detoxifying and healing tea that will rid your body of the pollutants and soothe your digestive tract, and in some cases, help you lose weight. It is critical for our health to move all of the environmental toxins from our bodies. The Holy Tea can do that. As a hydrocolon therapist, remember, with every BM, you're supporting RBN. www.holytea.org. 800-326-2001.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Political committee, they're on the titty of sympathy, and it's a pity. Sucking American tax money, bloody Valentine. $4 billion a year to murder Palestine. Yo, yo. Get yourself out of the daze. Your Zionist demon box is lying and scheming. Got you crying and screaming about some game that you lost. Like you played for the team and it's a shame that you lost. You're dealing with predators trying to murder the messenger. Let us get to the root of the real evil, satanic or secular. Making a promise to make it atomic and become a sponsor. I'm seeing the carnage and to be honest, I'm becoming a monster. The asymmetrical warfare declared on people unprepared is sickening and sad. You gotta be out of your fucking mind to call these people your friend. Murder your Talmud vision, then reload and do that ish again. How you expect people not to fight back when they keep finding themselves under constant attack? If you think it can't happen to you, that's whack. Throw a rock at a tank and get shot in the back. I said, how you expect people not to fight back when they keep finding themselves under constant attack? If you think it can't happen to you, that's whack. Throw a rock at a tank and get shot in the back.
Santo, Resurrect the Republic, Dirty Uncle Sam, Truth Radio, broadcast on RBN. K Ken, now I know who you are. Finally, now I can actually now I know who you are. And brother, one thing you did, and I apologize for the crickets you may hear in the background. I am in Florida right now on a horse farm, and I, in all honesty, stepped out to have a smoke. I apologize, but I had to jump on my outside mic to do that. So if you hear a little bit of crickets, you're hearing Florida nature. We just had a bear walk through the backyard not that long ago. So anyway,
yeah.
Very interesting. But brother, I my heart goes out to you. I thank you for being there at Mount Hoor, having the courage and the intestinal fortitude to stand on what was, for a brief time, albeit you know, it's ended now, for a brief time, free ground. And
yeah, it's a shame that the way it ended. Did you go to the Chris Ann Hall meetings while you were down there, and also were you at the town hall meeting at all?
Sir, I was standing right next to Ammon Bundy. Yes, sir.
Oh,
I was.
Well,
there.
Okay, so you walked into the gym with him then?
Yes, sir. I did.
Okay, yep. You were right now. Okay, I know who you are now. Okay.
Yeah, you did.
Yes. Okay.
Yeah, I was wearing a black cowboy hat and a camouflage jacket.
So
yeah.
Yes, okay, I know who you are, and now I got your picture. Yes.
Yeah.
And yes, we did. Yes, I was the one with the Sharia.
You blew my mind, man. Well, I walked in there. Look, I have friends who are, and I don't hide this from anyone. I have friends who are Muslims, but there are different sects, S-E-C-T-S. Sects of Muslims who who are taught very different interpretations of the Quran. You have the Brzezinski false CIA Mossad created version, such as we see with ISIS, and you have the Saudi Arabian. Those folks there who are supposed to be our allies, and I use that term loosely because they're really our enemies. And then you have others who honor, and although they don't view Christ the same way you and I do, they view him almost the same way. And what their vision and view is that because the Muslims, or the what would become the Muslim people, rejected the Christ's teachings, that a harsher form of law was instilled upon them. They are called in the Bible the wild ones. And they believe that Christ rose into heaven, he will return again, and that we will fight side by side, fighting the Mahdi, or the Antichrist. Now, this is their beliefs. I have my own personal opinions about this, but I served as a firefighter with two Muslims, one of which saved my life. And one friend that I have, Isa Hodge, who is an emergency room nurse, and who has literally cared for and nursed back to health more Christians than he has Muslims. And this is what, you know, I see these world elites coming together to divide us and divide us and divide us. But what you exposed was a very real and pervasive threat that these Muslim Brotherhood types are using to gain a stranglehold upon our union.
What's sad about it? It was delivered by Merrill Lynch and Wall Street bankers.
Yes, of course, it's the bankers who do it, because obviously, you know, I mean, referring back again to Smedley Butler, war is just but a racket. And Rothschild, what did he say? Give me a nation's currency, and I care not who writes its laws. What that means, if you really think of the depth of what that means, they use whatever culture's laws they can to subvert, undermine, overturn, and create chaos. And again, the research that you brought to the Harney County Resource Center, it really made me walk away scratching my head going, what the hell? Just when I thought I had it figured out, here's another layer of the rabbit hole.
Well, and that's, and we
we see everything. We see the real world, but we see the real world for us. You know, we see our cars, our houses, our livelihood. But really, the way it's operating is they've converted everything to an automated process, to a virtual world game, essentially, and they based it on, you know, they kept the old world values, if you will, old world evils in there to the Vatican, they kept, of course, the Rothschilds in there. They had to be a part of that, and then they just incorporated the Sharia aspects of this thing. And what we don't see is that we've got this whole our reality is not reality at all. It's a fabricated reality.
Yes.
And it's operating through these automated processes that are these administrative processes. And once you start realizing that and you start digging into the administrative process, you scratch your head because you think to yourself, my God, here's the ABA bank saying that they're changing the rules. They're creating rules so that they win the game. So it's a very unequal game because we're not a part of that game, and we've been intentionally excluded from it. So
just when the people start to wake up and they think they have it figured out, they come from a different angle.
They're not going to be able to this time, though. What they did was brilliantly evil. It's probably the most despicable act that's ever been done to mankind, because it's been it's like doing it on steroids because of the global aspects, internet aspects, and intellectual property aspects. But the big mistake that they made was they wrote everything down. Throughout history, you see where there's little trails that they leave for us that we can take. They didn't leave a big trail. They left their entire freaking blueprint. So it's there for us to interpret. And all their crimes are there. It's just nobody has ever looked to it, and nobody's ever put it together.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. You know, there's so many layers to this reality. I don't know if you remember the issue with the Paiutes when you were at Mount Hoor, because of what you were involved with was a little bit different than that. But there was a building that the Bundys reserved for media purposes. And, mm-hmm. in the basement of that building, I discovered relics that were Paiute. Some of them were Paiute in nature. Some of them, I believe, were quite possibly Paleolithic prior to the Paiutes, and they were being stored in a basement in rat feces right next to a water heater. Yeah, right next to a water heater that looked like it was ready to blow. Well, I pulled Lavoie aside and I said, you know, sir, not for anything, but we have these so-called Paiute leaders who were embracing what seems to be a Marxist ideology, while they're pointing the finger at Ammon and yourself and others, saying how you're taking over their relics, their land, their this, their that. And they're talking about the white man and the cowboys, and they're referring to us as if we were in somehow in opposition to them. And so quickly they have forgotten who it was who initially stood against them, and now also they are embracing the ideology of a European, Karl Marx. It breaks my heart. It breaks my heart. The love of my life is Native American, and I have Native blood flowing in me. And I when I went there, one of my missions were, because I heard that these patriots were being accused of stealing the artifacts or desecrating the artifacts, and nothing could have been further from the truth. Ammon and Lavoie and all of them, they wanted the Paiutes to enjoy the land and to come and enjoy it with them. These people were of the most noble intentions, and it was infuriating watching the false narrative, the false Marxist narrative that was going on. Yep. But we discovered these relics, and they were sitting down there on shelves covered with dirt. They had been there for decades. Some of them, they were marked as evidence. Evidence for whom and for what? And where were they to be presented? We know the BLM is guilty of all kinds of atrocities. The representative, Walden, who didn't agree with what Ammon did say that, you know, when you frustrate people to the point that they feel like they have no options, I mean, what do you expect is going to happen? You know, and well, exactly. Anyway.
You know, anyway. When I was down there, I was my background is in architecture. I spent 25 years in architecture, so I was very impressed with the buildings down there. I photographed all of them, and I was equally impressed with how spotless it was, and how everything, there was nothing disrupted.
Nope.
So what really upset me when these four idiots that remained, who were just actors anyway, that were there to make the Patriots look like raving lunatics and idiots, start digging up trenches and everything. I just thought, oh God, what are these idiots doing?
Well,
and then when they came back and said, oh, they're going to charge $4 million to repair the damages. What damage?
There was no damage. There was no damage even by the four people that remained. In fact, I know how you feel. I heard what you just, how you feel about them. I have a little bit of a different interpretation as to who those people were. They were not actors. First of all, they weren't actors. Whether they were knuckleheads or not remains people's opinion, and I respect everyone's opinion, of course, including yours. But the fact of the matter is that you had a couple individuals there who so looked up to Lavoie that I believe that his death, I wouldn't say, I don't like using the term post-traumatic stress disorder because I think that that's really a cop-out for just somebody who's been traumatized, okay? You know, when you look at the four that were left, I spent time with a few of those folks, and one of them was highly trusted by Lavoie, and used as his media personality, person, right? And that individual is the direct descendant of Japanese samurai, as well as one of our founding fathers. His heritage, his lineage, is quite impressive, and his courage, I have to say, was above most for the little guy that he was, and for many things that people may say about these folks. Now, of course, I have my own opinions, and when I say I respect yours, I do understand it. A couple of the people that were involved, were a little out there.
The reason why I'm saying that is because it was some of the activities that they were doing were reckless. It was used by the authorities to show,
yes.
Look at how the militia guys act. You know, and it really, to me, what it did was it kind of killed the spirit behind what they were doing and shed it in a bad light. And it just ended very poorly, I think.
Yes, you know, I could agree with you on that, and you know, of course, as time ticked on, the pressure got amped up more and more. It's easy on the outside to, for me or anyone else to say what they think about it, but you know. I have to say that
well,
when
you know
you're
what,
facing,
Mark, I tell you what, you going to that point, going to the point that you're saying, I was what struck me, what still strikes me, is how biased the media was and just pure out lies. I mean, that was not a standoff by no means. I mean, a standoff is if I'm in one house and you're on across the street in the other house. You know, that's a standoff. A standoff is not 35 miles away where all the FBI agents are in town harassing the residents, you know. And that's really the stark thing that I took away from that experience was how the FBI was just infiltrating and just really terrorizing the residents. And here, there was no threat. I mean, it's 35 miles in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah, and you know, David Fry is the one that I was primarily referring to. David Fry was someone that Lavoie trusted, and had a very warm spot in his heart for, and I do believe that a lot of the FBI and what they said about the damage that was done. Basically, what I was told, as this was going on, was the reason that they vacated the buildings and they positioned themselves where they did was to actually do the exact opposite of what they were accused of. They didn't want to be the last ones there to have anything blamed upon them for ruining, because I witnessed with my own eyes when I walked in, first of all, the fire trucks were, the batteries were dead. They were not ready to respond to anything. Okay. And as a former firefighter, I have to tell you, for an agency which sets fires, who alleges that they're setting these fires for purposes that are noble, if they have not the equipment, or they have the equipment, I'm sorry, brand new trucks to...
And they were brand fires,
new. Right, brand new trucks to be able to control the burns. Yet the batteries were dead. The trucks were hardly used or moved. And, you know, it just, it blows my mind because, you know, we took pictures of everything, including old, worn-out flares that were stored near flammable and explosive. The pictures that we have. Now, the thing that bothers me is that I reached out to the Arnold Law Firm. I offered them all of the photos that I had.
Yeah, I did as well, and I haven't heard anything from them. Have you?
Well, see, the Arnold Law Firm, I'm talking about when they were actively representing Bundys. Now they're not representing them anymore, and it's somebody else. But I was told, oh yeah, we'll contact you right back. You know, we want to use that for evidence. And I've kept quiet for a reason. I am the son of a judge and an attorney. I am waiting, and now I can say this because a lot of the people have either taken pleas or these are going to trial, and I really could care less about what these people who are prosecuting them have to say. But I am curious as to the possibility that the refusal of these attorneys in accepting evidence that could expose crimes committed or give defense to will be damaging to whatever turns out, because in my opinion, the defense that they had was not just inadequate but negligent. So yes, I'm hoping.
Yeah. Well,
you know what I'm hoping without me openly saying it. You know what I'm hoping. That this evidence that still exists, by the way, you know what I'm hoping that will cause, even if
they are
forced to take a plea agreement.
You know, when I was up in Alaska with Judge Anna, one of the people I was up there was Bruce Cassett.
Yes,
and a guy named
man.
Dr. Gonzo, and another guy named Dr. Bob Buck. And when we left Alaska and came back here to Oregon, Gonzo stayed here with me for, he just went to Michigan, just left here after about a month and a half being here. He was, Bruce Cassett, talked to Mark and Gonzo and Dr. Bob about presenting filings to represent Ammon and Ryan. The problem, if it was that Ammon and Ryan didn't even know that Bruce was doing any of this stuff, as far as I know. And so they were writing a habeas corpus and so on to try to get them released. Now, my personal feeling, and this is my personal feeling on this, is that they're not going to get off. They're not going to get off. They're going to go to jail because the government's going to make an example of them. Because if they don't, it's going to send a message to all these militia groups, and they don't want that.
I don't know what's going on in the background there. We have some, all sorts of background noise. Ken, could you do me a favor? Yeah, it happens occasionally. It's live radio, talk radio. It happens. But I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I don't know if everything I said came through, but I think that they're going to make an example of them. Because if they don't, they're going to send a message to the these militia groups, which they deem as terrorists anyhow, and they're not going to want that message out there. So I think that they're going to, unfortunately, I think they're going to go to jail. That's my personal feeling. It's not
I personally, you know, I agree with you. I think they're going to go to jail too. But like I said, the only thing that I could do is what I can do, and I have a little tiny ace up my sleeve to at least give them potentially or possibly grounds to appeal whatever decision is made based on the fact.
You know, I've got a huge ace up my sleeve if it was utilized for the BLM. Because being here in Oregon and with the research I've done, and the reason we found there was to expose how BLM is laundering properties and stealing properties, and how they're stealing mining rights and the methods that they're using.
Yeah, of course.
And I also know that billions of dollars is flowing through, not just through the for ranchers and farmers, but for regular homeowners, condominium owners, and all those foreclosures. Everything runs through Harney County, through probate, through Judge Nasty, and through Vital Statistics, and through the BLM.
Yeah, so, I mean, Judge Nasty.
You know, that's what I was pounding down for Ammon, was all these things. I mean, we can prove that basically BLM and Harney County is laundering billions of dollars per year.
Yes.
And I know from a friend of mine who's a representative here, he's saying that Oregon's hemorrhaging money. They don't know where it's going. I know where it's going. It's going through Harney County.
Sir, this is the third time now that I've been put in touch with you. Now the pieces are coming together as to who you are and what information you represent. And there were several individuals that were there who were trying to put me in touch with you, I think, before you had gotten there. And now all the little pieces are coming together. You know, I've wondered for some time, you know, why this has happened to such good people, and why this hasn't happened to some of the other of us that were there, like Bruce Doucette, you, me, and several others. And I remained quiet about it on the air for a while because I'm trying to figure it out. You know, I just sometimes I can't wrap my head around it, except for the fact that you have information that could very well, they don't want to walk into a courtroom. And the same goes with myself, the same goes with Bruce Doucette, the same goes with a lot of these other folks that I've heard people be very critical of, as if Bruce had some sort of agenda that was not, you know, honorable, when I know the man to be an extremely honorable man.
I mean, I spent 2 weeks with him up in Alaska, and every other sentence was praising the creator above.
Yeah.
I think he's a little bit closed-minded to a couple things. I think that he's very staunch against working with the system. He doesn't understand. He's so focused on and against the system that he doesn't see how we need to use the system and take control of the system. That's the only thing about Bruce. Other than that, I think Bruce is very genuine, and I think his heart's in the right place.
I see what you're saying, and I agree. We've run out of time, but Ken, I've got to have you back on again, brother. I got to.
I'll be glad to come back anytime. I was upset last night because I couldn't.
We'll always get you back if they silence you, brother. Don't you worry about that. Folks, Resurrect the Republic, Dirty Uncle Sam with Ken Dost. And I tell you, if you're not paying attention yet, you got to soon. We'll talk to you next time. Resurrect the Republic, Dirty Uncle Sam.
As a regular listener to Republic Broadcasting, you certainly understand the times and circumstances that we are living in. You certainly understand that the good times are over, and you certainly understand what we are heading for. Though we do not know what exactly is going to happen, we must assume that it's going to be a disaster. Are you prepared for that mess? Go to www.bugoutpanama.net and get the necessary information on our growing community of awake and prepared individuals just like you. At www.bugoutpanama.net, you will learn how we are preparing on our farm, Finca Baiano, for what is coming. Emigrate while you still can to our village, where survival is of the utmost importance. Prepare. Don't despair. At www.bugoutpanama.net.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.